Well, I want to start by saying it is really an honor to be here with you. As Steve said, now he and Susan are actually part of South Winds, and they are actually Uncle Steve and Aunt Susan to our two, and this August will be third. And if you know any of our story, we praise God for those little ones because we didn't know if we were going to be able to have little ones, and God continues to bless. So if he wants to take his foot off the accelerator, we'll be okay. Yeah. We couldn't be more excited. So I do have the honor of serving at South Winds Church, as Steve said, and every church pastor should be able to say this, but I have the honor of pastoring the best church in the world. In the world. And you know, we've got some great members of South Winds Church, even considering Steve and Susan Booth. Your dean, your professors, Drs. Booth and Dr. Blackaby, when he is not attending to his family and the business of this school, we get to worship with Dr. Blackaby as well down at South Winds, and we are so privileged to have both of them as part of South Winds. And today we're going to look at a story in John chapter 6. So if you have your Bible, I would invite you to turn there. And if you don't know where it is, then you might want to take New Testament survey. John chapter 6, it's a very familiar story, a familiar passage to many of us. But I'm telling you, it's a story that is so applicable to you wherever God will take you. Whether he takes you to pastor, to church plant, to be part of a congregation, to go from this place and go into the business world, to be a parent, whatever it is, this passage is applicable to you and to me. You know, you learn a lot here at seminary. You have the potential to learn a lot here at seminary. I'll say that, okay? You can learn a lot at this school, and we have faculty and staff that are second to none. And I will continue to say that for all of my days. I loved my time here. And some might say I didn't love my time in classroom enough here, but I love my time here with the student body and serving in a local church. But I would put our faculty and staff against anybody, for sure. But you know, they will prepare you for everything they can. And they put it all on the line for you. They do. They pray for you. They will put it all out there for you. But they can't prepare you for everything. So you'll learn your Greek, you'll learn your Hebrew, your preaching, your Old Testament, your New Testament. You're going to learn your survey courses, your developmental psychology. You're going to learn all those things. But there are some things that you just can't be prepared for until you get out into what God has for you beyond this place. You know, I was talking to my wife about being able to come and share in chapel, and I said, babe, like, what's a story that I could share with them? Like, I feel like there's been so many around this idea of more than enough. That's the theme of today's message, is more than enough, where God becomes more than enough for us. He is always more than enough for us, but when we trust him and we actually get to see him do it. You know, we were both of us part of the launch team for South Winds Church just over 10 years ago, as Steve shared, as Dr. Booth shared. And, you know, she was, I think, one of the most eligible bachelorettes in Canada, I think. And she kept talking to me, and it was good. And so I proposed before she quit talking to me. And we were married just 4 short months later. But, you know, we were part of this launch team, and we launched in a community center in Auburn Bay. It was a beautiful facility. We got along with the staff really well. We were able to serve the community. That was a big part of who God created South Winds Church to be. He'd given us lots of favor and trust there. And then they were going to expand their facility, and so they let us know a few months in advance, hey, guys, we're going through a building program, and starting September, we need you guys to just briefly have a hiatus and not meet here at our community center anymore. We love having you and everything else, but we're expanding our facility because the community is growing. And so I said, great, no problem. Little did I know that it was about to be a huge problem, because like many other places in the city, there weren't a lot of areas for us to go. There weren't a lot of options for a group of about 60 people to go meet. We'd been meeting in that community center for about 4 years, it had been a great spot for us. It was a place, it was a lake community, so when we did baptisms, we just left the community center, walked down to the beach and did baptisms. It was awesome. Nobody wanted to get baptized in February, and we couldn't figure it out, you know? We were willing to cut a hole in that ice. But when they told us we had to move, no problem, until we started to search out locations. We had a great relationship with a local Catholic school, so we went to the principal and asked her if we could use their facility. She said, sure, no problem. It's all good on my end. But then she came back to us a couple weeks later, and she said, you know, there is an issue. We can't get any of our janitorial staff to work on Sunday. And we said, no problem. We will clean, we'll mop. Like, I know just the people for those jobs. You know what I mean? We'll make it cleaner than when we found it. And no charge. She said, you know, that sounds great, but unfortunately it's a union position. And so if nobody will agree to work or at least be on site, even if you do the work, you can't be in the facility. Okay. So we begin to look and look and look, and as God would have it, a brand new community center opened up in Cranston. And I approached them, and I said, okay, hey guys, when I introduced myself, my name is Bo, I'm with Southwest Church, yada, 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 told them about Auburn Bay, and I said, would you guys be willing to rent to us? They said, actually, we have a policy that we don't rent to churches. Okay, good. So we hit dead end after dead end after dead end. It's middle of July, we're in the middle of summer camp season, we're doing sports camps and block parties and all kinds of things. And in the back of my mind, as I'm driving around the cargo trailer with portable camp, I'm thinking, Lord, where are we going to go? And so I know God told me, I want you to go back to Cranston, talk to that community center once again. Okay, Lord, but you know they have a policy. Nothing escapes you. Yeah, I know. Go back to them. Talk to them one more time. Okay. So I asked the mission team that was there that week to pray. We asked our whole prayer network to pray. We asked our church family to pray. And I went in with fear and trepidation. I'm not a guy who likes to push, and I felt like I was pushing, right? So I went in and I said, I don't mean to bother you guys, but I would love to chat with you just one more time. What would it look like for us to maybe work out a rental? You can talk to Auburn Bay. They said, oh, no, we've already talked to Auburn Bay. They said you guys are great and everything. Well, that's good. And they said, we actually just this week changed our policy. You guys can start meeting here in September. Thank you, Lord. I wiped my brow, said thank you, acted like I wasn't nervous at all, walked out and let all of our prayer friends know. You know, God is more than enough, guys. That was a situation that, you know, would have been the end of the world? No, we would have figured out something. But for me, as a young pastor, having kind of just taken the reins of Southwinds Church as the lead pastor, okay, great. Just became pastor last fall. Now we don't have a place to meet. Excellent. You know, God is more than enough, guys. There's lots of stuff that you can be prepared for in this place, and it will prepare you for many, many things. But there's lots of stuff that you can't be prepared for. And so as we read this story, this encounter of Jesus and his disciples with the crowds and this one little boy, I want you to remember that phrase, more than enough. Okay? Let's start. Let's read together. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, and a huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing on the sick. So Jesus went up a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now, the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. Therefore, when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where will you buy bread so these people can eat?" And I think he asked him with a bit of a smirk on his face. And in verse 6, because in verse 6 he said, he asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, hey, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? And then Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. And that's where I want to end the story today. Now, we know when we read on that John records the fact that the people, after he filled their physical bellies, not spiritually filled them, but once he had been spiritually filling them all day, right? Once he filled their bellies, they wanted to force him to be king. It's a good point and an important point to the story, not the key point for us today, okay? So Jesus has begun his public ministry. He's been going and he's been preaching and teaching and performing signs and miracles. And it's gotten to the point where the crowd won't leave him alone. That even when he goes across to the other side of this lake or this sea and he tries to go up on this mountain with his disciples, these 12 that he has taken aside, and he's taught them in ways that he hasn't taught the crowd. And he wants some rest because John 1 tells us that God came in the form of a man, right? He was fully God and fully man. So he experienced fatigue. Sometimes I miss that about Jesus, right? He experienced everything that we experience, including, I think, fatigue. And maybe even crowd fatigue. I don't want to go outside of the text. I'm in seminary, okay? Maybe even crowd fatigue. And so Jesus knows he needs rest. He knows he and his disciples need to get away. So they go to a mountain, and he's hanging out with his disciples, and the crowd finds him, right? And so he begins to teach about, and Luke tells us that he was teaching about the kingdom of God. Right? This was the subject matter of Jesus, and it was one of Jesus' favorite subject matters. So he's teaching, the crowds are there, they've arrived in the morning, found Jesus, they've been there all day, they stayed through lunch, and that was the way it was when you listened to Jesus. You could listen all day. You could listen all day. Don't worry, we won't be here all day. I'm sorry, you won't miss class because the preacher went all day. I don't know of anybody else that could speak all day and have people hanging on every word and forgetting about their empty stomachs for a time. But then Jesus, it's like he notices the time. He's like, whew, 6:00. Guys, where are we going to buy these people bread? And I can just imagine Philip, right? Like any of us might do. You look at Jesus, you look at the crowd, you look at Jesus, you look at the crowd. Jesus, if we have 200 denarii, if we had all this money, we would not be able to buy even a taste for everybody. And Jesus, it says, he asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Guys, this is a really important verse. Let's not miss this verse 6. He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew what he was going to do with the simplest thing as a Cranston rule that they wouldn't rent to churches, right? Jesus knew what he was going to do. He just wanted the obedience of his servant, right? He knew what he was going to do. In your seminary degree, when you don't know how am I going to get all of this done, because the professors seem to have collaborated and figured out all the papers are due on the same 2 days of the semester. No, they don't really do that. But you know, it's a funny thing how life seems to happen that way. Everything comes at once. Everything comes at once. I'm telling you, this place will prepare you. We need to give everything to Jesus. Everything. Even the things that seem insignificant. Because Philip just dismissed it altogether, right? And then we have Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saying to him, so he gets kind of halfway there. Jesus had asked the question, how are we going to feed all these people? Where are we going to get bread for them? He gets halfway there. He says, now, Jesus, I've got this little boy. He's got some barley loaves and a couple of fish. And then it's like he stops. And he says, man, what am I thinking? This won't feed all these people. Sorry, Jesus. I don't know. I was thinking, but then I wasn't thinking. Never mind. Thing is, he didn't even know he got halfway there, I don't think. Because if we remember that phrase, more than enough, Jesus said, have the people sit down. And this is the moment that Jesus already knew what he was going to perform. This is the moment he had already chosen. So everybody sat down on the grass. And they even, in other Gospels, it tells us that they kind of had them seated in kind of sections or groups of people. They organized it. They had him sit down, and Jesus did something miraculous. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the Jesus story but Bible? Have you ever heard of that Bible? Okay, good. I'm impressed. Even some of our not yet parents know of this Bible. That's good. I didn't know of this Bible until I became a parent. But my mother-in-law gave us this Bible, and we read it almost every night. Between that and another children's Bible for our children. And there was one story that our son wanted to read for literally weeks on end. He didn't want to read anything else except the story about the people who didn't have any food. It's not what it's titled in the Bible, but that's how he related the story to us. It's on page 244 of the Jesus Storybook Bible, okay? We read that story, we read that story, we read that story. And I love the way they portray it because it's not a literal translation. It's Sally Lloyd-Jones' interpretation of the scripture. She tells the story, some of the key stories, and it's all related to Jesus, Old Testament and New Testament. It's a great Bible, by the way. But she tells the story, and there's a really neat illustration on the page. And it's Jesus with this little boy standing next to him, and Jesus is holding a basket of 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he's looking down at this little boy, and he's winking at him. Right? He just winks at him. And then the way she tells the story, she says, Jesus looked at that little boy and said, watch this. And then Jesus lifted that basket of fish and loaves to the Father and asked him to bless it. And then he began to tear it. Right? And he began to tear it, and he began to give it to his disciples. Now, one other piece. When you get more immersed into ministry, there are things, I'm not a detail-oriented person, okay? I'm just not. But the more events you put on, the more things that you do to try to bless the community around you, you figure out details are important. If you're going to serve hot dogs, you might want to make sure somebody buys buns to put the hot dogs in. If you're going to serve hot dogs, you might want to make sure they have a plate or a napkin or something to put it on. So my question is, like, Jesus, where'd they get all the plates to feed these people? Right? How'd they distribute? Where'd the 12 baskets come from? Anyway, I don't know. It doesn't tell us. I don't know, but it's that's the event coordinator coming out. Jesus has asked God to bless the food. He's begun to tear the bread. He's got it. Right? He's got it. And he distributes food for all the people. And G. Campbell Morgan says that it was springtime when he blessed the fish and loaves, and it was harvest when he broke it. It was springtime when he blessed it. It was harvest when he broke it. Jesus fed the 5,000. There were 12 baskets of bread left over. Jesus is more than enough. Any of us could look at that and say 5 loaves, 5 little barley loaves, and 2 fish won't feed 5,000 men plus any women and children that were there. And even his disciples didn't get it, right? Philip said, Jesus, there's no way. Andrew said, Jesus, I've got this kid, and then he changed his mind. Jesus was more than enough. And he'll take that fish and loaves, and he'll feed whoever he wants to feed with it. Here's the message I think that might be applicable for you and I today. You know, when we think that all we have are fish and loaves, God makes it more than enough for what he wants to do. When you walk into that classroom and you've studied and you've prepared and you've done your best and you still don't think, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle this exam, Jesus said, just give it all to me. Yes, I want you to study. I want you to prepare. Give it to me. And you see fish and loaves happen all the time. By the grace of God, I have a master of divinity from this institution. But sometimes it really was, God, I just got to give it to you because right now I don't know if I can parse a Greek verb. He's more than enough. When we think all we have are fish and loaves, God makes it more than enough for what he wants to do. You know, sometimes we can get caught even in the mindset of, I got this. Maybe the languages come really natural to you. Maybe Old Testament and New Testament survey are your bread and butter, right? Just give me a paper. I will knock it out all day long. Well, guys, I think no matter who we are, no matter what gifts we have, we must realize that all we have are fish and loaves with an impossible task. When we remember that if we do it without Jesus, it's not going to be enough. You can be the best preacher in the world. You can be the best disciple maker in the world. You can be the best teacher in the world. You can be the best with children, with youth, whatever it is, the best musician in the world. Without Christ, it won't be enough. With Christ, it will be more than enough for whatever assignment that He gives us. We have to realize, all of us, that all we have are two fish and five loaves. Our role is to offer it, and His role is to use it for His kingdom. Right? We have an assignment. We give it to Him. His role is to make sure it's used for His kingdom's sake, and He will use it for His own glory. Let me tell you another story. Now, this one doesn't come from Southwinds Church, but it comes from Lee Strobel. You familiar with Lee Strobel? Okay. Lee Strobel, atheist whose wife became a follower of Christ. He couldn't believe it. He thought she was an intelligent woman. We agreed on this. This stuff is just nothing. But being the good journalist that he was, he opened up another investigation, and he went through and he started investigating what we would call the truth of God. For him, it was just the Bible at that point, some archaic religious book. And if you know the story of Lee Strobel, in that midst of searching and seeking and looking for truth, he found truth, gave his life to Christ Jesus, has become a prolific, actually, Christian author and teacher now. He relates a story of when he still worked for a newspaper. He relates a story of going in to work one day and God specifically telling him, I want you to go share with this person and invite them, share with them the gospel and invite them to the Easter service at your church. And it wasn't the church he was pastoring. It was the church he and his family were attending. He said, Lord, this person's pretty hostile, but I'll go. He didn't think he would amount to a hill of beans, but he said, I trust you. And I'll go. So he goes into this guy's office. He begins to strike up a conversation. And when the moment was there, he shared the gospel, invited him. He said, you know, man, we're having some great Easter services. They've really put a lot of energy and time into these services. We would love it if you wanted to come and join our family for Easter Sunday morning. And, you know, you might think that the answer that this guy gave was, you know, I've really been thinking about that. And yes, but it wasn't. He looked at Lee and he said, Lee, we've all heard your religious dribble. Not interested. In fact, I'd really appreciate it if you just wouldn't talk to me about this again. He was faithful. He presented his fish and loaves, right? So he went back to his office, and I don't know what he and the Lord talked about together, but I'm sure they talked. Years later, Lee is approached by somebody. He doesn't know this man, but he says, Mr. Strobel, can I get a word with you? And Lee says, sure. So they begin to speak, and he said, you know, I just want you to know that there was a day when you worked at this for this newspaper, you walked into somebody's office, and you shared with them the gospel, and you shared with them, you invited them to come to your church service on Easter. And he said, I don't even remember that guy's name, but I remember what you said, because I was working behind one of the desks laying tile in the area, and I heard everything you said. And my family had been going through some amazingly hard things during that time. And he said, what you said made sense to me. And so, despite what our family was going through, I gathered all my family and we went to your church that Sunday and we gave our lives to Jesus. Guys, even when it seems insignificant, we got to offer the fish and loaves. Even when it seems like, I don't know about you, maybe for you, you feel like every class here will be pertinent for the ministry or the plan that God has for you after this place. Sometimes I fell into the trap of wondering, will I use all this? One, you will. Two, offer your fish and loaves. Give everything. Don't hold anything back. That little boy, I don't think he was a dumb little boy. I don't think he thought, hey, if I give two fish and five loaves, this will feed everybody here. I don't think he was dumb. I think he had immense faith and trust that if Jesus needed it, then Jesus could have it. And look what Jesus did, guys. If you offer your two fish and five loaves, there's no telling what Jesus might do. There's no telling. And we've got to approach him always as if all we have is two fish and five loaves. No matter how gifted we are, no matter how smart we are, no matter how not smart we feel. And can I just tell you, I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage your professors and the staff of this place. Because I feel like these are incredibly gifted and talented people. And they not only know a lot, but they love Jesus. And I believe they come giving their fish and loaves all the time. To us, it looks a whole lot more like porterhouse steak and potatoes and everything for everybody, right? Because of their depth and their breadth of knowledge and heart. But they come with fish and loaves and they give it all to Jesus. And in turn, they give it all to you guys. So I just want you to remember, and they will pray for you even after you go away from this place. It's amazing. Every once in a while, you'll get this letter in the mail, and I'm telling you, it's the best letter. Because you know they prayed for you by name that day. It is an honor to speak here today, and it's always an honor to present God's truth. And know that you got my fish and loaves today. I know I'm not Andy Stanley, right? But you got the fish and loaves. Now, what does God want to do in and through you? As you continue to offer him your fish and loaves, what does he want to do through you? He'll make it more than enough. Even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it doesn't look like it, he'll make it more than enough if you just trust him with it. Guys, thank you for today. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for these students, faculty, and staff. Thank you for this school. Thank you, God, that you are more than enough. And Lord, thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that you can feed 5,000 people through the humble submission of a little boy. Father, I pray that you would help each of us to trust you. And no matter what we do, if we're standing in front of 5 people or 5,000 people, if we have the opportunity to teach or present your truth, that we would do it as if we're offering fish and loaves in the hands of a master. Father, if you have church planting, if you have pastoring, if you have ministering on the horizon for these people, God, whether they do it vocationally or not vocationally, God, I pray that you would use them for your kingdom's glory. And Father, that we would all remember that we are your children to be used for your kingdom, and that we would have the trust and the faith of the little boy we see in this story, and the power of the king who fed everybody and left 12 baskets of leftovers. You're more than enough. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.